Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. A few weeks back, maybe it was more like a month ago. About a month ago, was it? Yeah, was it about a month ago? We were doing a workshops over at Center Stage, part of an exercise to help theater companies figure out how to grow and raise money and create some art and how they would do that. And so I was emceeing the event, and the keynote speaker was Native Son, a.k.a. David Ross, who was there, and that's the first time we met. Yes. And I heard David give this, do the spoken word piece, a poem that he had written, and then have this conversation with the audience because of his work with shock trauma and working with young men and women who have been victims of gun violence and his work to turn that around, and told his own story in that process. I went, oh, this is really interesting. So we sat down and we started talking, and I really was kind of taken with the story he was throwing out there, and then told me about Fifth L, which is the group that he has with Dry Fish, a.k.a. Femi Lawal, who's also in the studio with us. And Fifth L, I started studying what they were about and said, you know, we need to do a show together and get them on the air just to talk about lives, their spoken word work, the work at Shock Drama. And we did. And when David Ross was speaking to this assembled group of theater people from around the country and around Baltimore, he had them kind of wrapped in the palm of his hand as he was doing this one poem that he opened up the session with and then telling his own story. So it is really my pleasure to have in the studio with us today David Ross, Native Son, poet and author of Speech Impediments, has been performing since 1997, and Dry Fish, Femi Lawal, who lives in Baltimore, born in London, raised partially in his family's home country of Nigeria, been performing since 1995, and they are Fifth L. And gentlemen, welcome. Good to have
Greetings.
You.
Good afternoon. How do I look? How do I look?
You look good, man.
It's good.
Oh, yeah, because the camera's in the room.
Yeah.
I forgot he was coming. I would have worn something better. The bass man was making fun of me, saying that Zach didn't have a chance to make fun of me yet, but bass man did, saying that I look like I should belong on the islands with a shirt I have on. So I wish I was in the islands. But 410-319-8888 is the number here. But you look good. Femi, you look good. You can do it. So let's talk a bit about before we talk about Fifth L and this world that you create, the spoken mm-hmm. word that you do all over the country, mm-hmm. you when you came, when we first met, David, at Center Stage, you first did this poem.
Right.
And then kind of talked a piece about who you are and where you came from.
Yes.
Can you do that poem for us?
Sure.
why don't we start off that way? This is my introduction to you, and it'll be your introduction to those people in our audience who don't know you.
Okay. A young boy wears a bullet on a chain around his neck. With each step, it beats against his chest, right foot, left, right foot, left. With every step comes the invitation to death. So tempted to snatch his young, sweet breath. So young, so fresh, so naive. To him, life is make-believe. He dons a chain as a badge of honor to show how brave he is against this wicked world. Proving how tough he can be. But what he fails to see is that you don't play games with her, because death is into long-term relationships, and he's too young to be making commitments. It was written. Yet he continues to chase the forbidden, taking his bite out of the rotten fruit that has already been bitten many, many times before him. But see, this is why death adores him. His own family, community ignores him. And what breaks my heart is the fact that we all play a part in his young, impressionable life. We close our eyes and ears and pretend we can't hear his cries for help. We say, that's not my child. Every man's for himself. It's a doggy-dog world, and I got my own kids to worry about. Let that menace be somebody else's problem. But he is our problem. This little boy is wearing a bullet on a chain. He's got murder on the brain, flesh filled with pain, about to sign his little life over to death. And
this
you,
is for
I mean us,
Marla, West Bank, Gaza. It's about time.
Don't care enough. He's a walking time bomb and you're calling him bluff. Wake up. Right foot, left, right foot, left. Last night, an 8-year-old boy took a bullet to the chest because his friend, 10, shot him over some Pokemon cards, and a girl named Corinne, 11, and not one, but 3 young lives just destroyed, vanquished, the result, pain and anguish and baffled looks on adult faces like, oh no, and why and how, but it's too late now. All the while, businesses still send out publications as well as radio stations for peace and unity and stop the violence rallies to amp up their publicity ratings naturally. All the while, the murder rate continues to tally. I mean, I don't know. Ask the officers. They got Parker Brothers beats playing diddly cop games on your street. You got these R&B stars and these crap artists. I mean, these rap artists. Endorsing poison for free, endorsing expensive clothes for free, endorsing Glocks and Texts, Nines and Millie Max, alcohol and promiscuous sex, what seems to be at no fee. But there is a price, and that price is your baby's life. It's sad to say, but today our young people can't even outlive mice. Well, I guess not if they determine their self-worth by the retail of cars, clothes, and ice, right? A little boy is wearing a bullet on a chain. This little boy is wearing a bullet on a platinum chain. Death is coming around the corner like a runaway train, and he's strapped to the tracks as we turn our backs. Inside, he's yelling for help while we only think of ourselves. It's just not fair. Will you help save him, or will you help keep him there? Right foot, left, right foot, breath. This bullet is hungry for his young, sweet flesh. God bless. Will you save him? Will you save him, or will you deliver him to death?
And that was my introduction to Native Son, a.k.a. David Ross, in our first conversation here with David Ross and Dry Fish, a.k.a. Femi Lawal, who are both part of Fifth L. So talk a bit about Fifth L. Where did that come from? How did that begin? What is Fifth L?
Femi. The Fifth L. The Fifth L actually represents the fifth element, which we consider ourselves to be the fifth element of hip-hop. We consider ourselves to be the fifth element as far as five elements of the planet. We're a part of that. That's what we are, the fifth element. And we just shorten it to the fifth L because...
That's what people started saying.
because this is being brought to you by the number five and the letter L.
Well, now, what does it mean to be the fifth element? What does that mean to be the fifth element?
Well, we were originally a five-man group. We started out as a five-man group.
And each one of us took on an element.
Of the planet. That represented our style. You know, that was what it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Many moons ago.
Yeah, we're thinking back like a long time ago. Like,
when the world was gray. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then guys, each one of us just, the guys just began to branch off and do their own thing and just pretty much grew up because we were really young, 19, 20, and Femi was actually 40.
At that time, yes.
You know, and as we grew and developed, you know, guys just started doing their own thing, and we were the only two left to carry the torch, and we were stuck together, and we put out a CD called Circle Circle Dot Dot, and it was a smash in Baltimore. Like
Baltimore, D.C. area, we got a lot of attention for the album.
And then we was like, wow, we should do this again. And
2 years
from that point, people just began to recognize David and Femi as the Fifth L. And
that's we kept the torch.
Yeah.
And you're still traveling. And
yes.
You're opening for a lot of really... major folks out there.
We've done quite a few openings. We want to do more, so you're out there.
So all of you major folks, Stevie Wonder, if you're listening.
Yes. Rod Stewart, if you're listening.
Mick Jagger. And the list goes on. But yeah, we've been very blessed to be able to open up for some really good people.
Fifth L is in the house. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Join us for this conversation. And Jonathan, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hello.
Hi, Dryfish and Native Son. This is Jonathan Gordon.
Hello.
And I've been a fan of you guys for a long time.
Wow, thank you.
And I'm curious to know, do you still keep in touch with the former members of the Fifth L, and is there a possibility of a reunion?
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we see each other around Droopy. I just featured at his venue about 2 weeks ago, but we see each other all the time. I mean, we're in the same scene, so we bump into each other. I would say Sir would be the only one that we don't see as frequently because he's not performing as often. We're always currently... always finding our ways on stages, wherever, and Droopy does the same thing. Mm-hmm. Complex the same thing. So we could bump into each other in town or out of town. It could happen anywhere. But Sarah will probably be the only one that we don't see as often. But, you know, anytime you want to talk to him, you just pick up the phone and call. Yeah. So reunion show, I don't know.
I don't know. Actually, Droopy is working on something.
For
next year. So we'll definitely be a part of that. But, yeah, it's still all love.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. 410-319-8888. Native Son and Dry Fish in Studio 5th L, the group. And when you told the story, I'm curious, both of you coming from this end, but you told the story, David, about told folks how you went to Mervo, if I remember correctly. Is that right? You went to Mervo.
Yes.
And what kind of brought you into this world. And we can get to that in a minute. But I'm curious about this to talk a bit about that poem you just did and the work you all do with Shock Trauma.
It's interesting. We kind of stumbled into working with Shock Trauma only because, we present ourselves, whatever we're going through, we use that as a platform. We use ourselves as examples, you know. So whatever the flaw is we find in ourselves, or whatever problems we're having or obstacles we're trying to overcome, that translates into the work. And it just happens we find other people who are going through that, you know. And we use ourselves not to point fingers, but to say, this is what I'm going through. And somebody else, you know, is able to find inspiration in that. You know, and with the thing with Shock Trauma, you know, for myself, like, I want a better Baltimore, you know. And we hooked up with Dr. Cooper. Some of his people saw me perform at an anti-violence rally at Madame and Mall some years ago, and he videotaped it and took it back to Shock Trauma, and they was like, find that guy. And they found me.
Comb the city.
They found me on the subway. And he was like, I know you don't know me. He was like, I saw you perform, and Dr. Cooper wants to meet you. And he took me to Shock Trauma for a meeting. And I brought Femi along. And for a while, we just volunteered our time there. And one day, they was like, yeah, we want to pay you guys to keep doing this.
Right.
And
so what are you doing? I mean, we pay you to do what?
Well, we run a program called the FAT program, Promoting Healthy Alternatives for Teens. And it's a program where it's a two to two and a half hour program where we bring in different youth groups via after school program, detention programs, church programs, anywhere that is just youth that's trying to get in, you know, as an adult in charge of a group of kids. It could be just a neighborhood where, you know, there's an adult in the neighborhood that says, hey, kids, let's all get together. We're all going. And we do a 2-hour program discussing decision making. But a lot of it is geared towards violence, which is really the most important thing, because just for the fun of it, people get into fights. And then it becomes serious. And then it spills over to a gunshot or a stabbing or anything that leaves you in shock trauma or could lead you to a grave, you know. And we discuss decision making. Dave and I do a performance for them starting out. Then we have a speaker come in and discuss with them about their lives, usually someone that has been through something. And we've all been through everything. So it could be anybody, because a lot of times people might feel like, yeah, just bring in the ex-con. Like, it doesn't have to be that. It could be someone that's just, you know, everybody has tried to be something, has gone through their own trials and tribulations just mm-hmm. to be 20, just to be 21, just to be 25. So they come in, they talk about their lives, what they've been through, where they are, where they're trying to be, which hopefully will inspire the children to see something else. And then
we give them a tour of the hospital and introduce them to different career fields that we have there. So not, you know, there aren't only doctors and nurses in the hospital. There are many other career choices you can have there. So we see if they're interested in any of those things. And we use the performance and poetry and hip-hop to engage them to do that. So yeah,
and Dr. Cooper ends up talking about some of his patients. He's a trauma surgeon. So most of his patients come in with people that have made really poor decisions that leads them into a violent situation or, you know, just a bad accident of some sort. So he shows some slides, which are usually gruesome, which I don't stick around for. But
you've seen.
I've seen them, yes. I've seen them. And, I mean,
they are pretty gruesome. I've seen them as well.
Yeah. Yes. It's not shock value, though. He wants to talk about what could have been done differently, because a lot of these violent situations that we end up in Baltimore at the end of the day could have been avoided. You know, just nationally, you know, like, we live in America. We're not in a civil war country. And yet we have the amount of bodies that drop every year nationally that are equivalent to a civil war country, you know. And a lot of these situations, no one, after someone is shot and killed, no one can sit back and say, you know what, that was a good reason to die. You know, not like we're defending our country. You know, it's not like anybody's, you know, like. It's not like the old Bruce Lee movies where you're trying to avenge your man. You know, it's like at the end of the day, it's over something that when you think about it clearly, it didn't carry enough weight for this person to die.
Yeah,
Go ahead, man.
And it just so happens that, you know, the goals that Dr. Cooper has for this program, the violence intervention program, just falls in line with my own, with Fithel's own values and the things that we believe in at core. You know,
what does that mean? What do you believe in your core?
As far as having a better Baltimore with bringing, redirecting the negative, you know, and bringing balance to this rep that Baltimore has for being, you know, murderland, you know, and we just want to shift that a little bit. Like, you'll never get rid of all the negativity, but if we can bring balance, you know, back, so let us be known for something good. You know, and that's part of what Fithel's does. We want to provoke thought, and we want to redirect the negative.
With your work.
Yes, through our work. And that's been our mission statement.
In about 10 minutes, we'll go to break. Number here is 410-319-8888. We're here with Fithel, Native Sun and Dry Fish, both been performing together for how long? You guys been performing together?
Together since 02, but we've been active as writers. We've been active writers and performers since probably the late 90s.
So you were going to do, you had a piece you wanted to do.
Okay.
You want to start with that?
We have time.
All right.
How long is it going to be?
Maybe about 4 minutes.
Oh, that's plenty of time. We have more time. You can go 8 minutes if you want to.
Would be easy on the listeners.
Many moons ago.
So why don't you set this up for us?
Okay. This piece is called Talk is Cheap. And it's a piece that we wrote. Just with the idea, including ourselves, you know, everything. And like I said, everything starts with self. Like, you know, wow, we're talking about this is what we want to do. We hear people, you know, politicians and celebrities or anyone just talk about, you know, criticizing what's going on and the changes that we need to make. And we say, hey, you know, more than just talking about it, let's, you know, walk the talk, you know. And it's just just a charge to ourselves, and just to take that up and to keep doing it, you know, and to let everybody else know, you know, if you want to talk about the change, you know,
be
about the change, you know. So it's called Talk is Cheap.
All this talking. All this talking, cause talk is cheap. It's like using the First Amendment on to plead the Fifth.
I write to reach.
Besides, I can't afford to shrink. Being clever with lyrics from my own amuses. Every time I grab the mic, I run the risk of being censored. Moving beyond words.
Transform thoughts into verbs.
Making sure every verse spit is worth over 1,000 pictures. But all I hear is
all this talking. All this yapping, rapping, preaching, teaching, spoken word, and herding the masses like cattle into 8 different directions.
Yo, shut up.
Just shut up.
You too, David.
You too, Femi. Surge rule. The world would not stop for you just because you're mad.
Hurts.
Underprivileged, impoverished, minority. Sorry. Mama America would not cry for you or wipe your tears.
So get over and shut up.
The people don't want to hear you talk
no more.
They
want to see you do.
And all you do is talk.
And you
know you are the people. Know you are those of you so righteous like the microphone is a part of your face. You're a disgrace. Taste your own medicine and start doing a tablespoon for the crap you be talking about. President talking.
Preacher talking.
NAACP keep talking. Scholars and intellectuals. Celebrities and so-called
talking professionals.
BET don't represent me. CNN talking. Talk radio talking. Folks, we never talking about nothing.
Still talking.
Way longer than 60 minutes.
Still ain't
NPR
finished.
NPR to UPN.
Ignorant all over again.
Complainer does not change the world. Blamer does not get you off the hook. You don't like your job.
Then quit.
You won't take a stand.
Then sit.
You get locked up. Good luck. Because nobody cares.
And why should
you just
they?
Make somebody a buck.
And what?
Life goes on. Because life will go on even if you don't.
Grow up. Show up to school. To work. To your own funeral.
We'll go on without you. Face it, Martin fell.
And life
the
went
Panther
on.
Party fell.
And life went
Mickey
on.
Schwerner, James Chaney, Andrew Goodman fell.
And life went on, and they were doers.
MJ just passed away, and the world did not stop. It just kept right on trucking over him like a bump in the road.
Man,
that should tell you something, that this ain't Neverland.
And you ain't Peter
this
Pan.
This is America, and she will eat you whole on 2 slices of freedom bread, jelly spread
without missing a beat.
Yeah, everybody talking, but ain't nobody walking.
Just squawking, I think y'all scared.
Some nerve to give the chicken such a bad rep, because even they don't talk about laying
they
eggs.
Just do.
How many do you lay poets in
one sitting
and
one lifetime?
But can you claim just one? Talking does not rotate this planet, neither does the sun. No atlas.
It's us moving, balance it on its axis. I challenge you and me to put action into practice.
See what results attracts, but the main fact is it's always easier said than done. But all I hear is
all this talking, cause talk is cheap, and I speak to give my life a purpose. So don't take this for lip service. We're actually putting crowns in these cavities in a society that pledges allegiance to the streets, at the same time disloyal to their own families.
Really?
Talking about being hardcore without even knowing the meaning.
Hardcore is
that 12-year-old girl
in that third world country
who just says no to food so
her younger siblings can eat.
Or everyone is trying to keep it together as a tsunami hits. Or that man who used by to block a moving tank to show the world that it's more than the freedom of speech.
More than spinners on jeeps.
I hear them hustlers say, yo, stop snitching, so they can go out and sell drugs to our kids. I want to say something that'll reduce the amount of people that die every day in these streets. Because Mother Nature
scratched and itched,
cracked the earth and shifted, shed a tear on her skin,
and over 150,000 people
forced to breathe in liquids
with no gills.
So I ask, why do we kill for thrills when we have communities to build, where most of us can't write or read but can roll weed and smoke trees? Life is bigger than girls and G-strings, bigger than these streets,
large in the East and West Coast,
that designer clothes, music videos, cash
even
blow.
Though we still trying to get that dough.
I don't believe that living in the ghetto is the harshest reality one can experience when the homeless are panhandling,
eating out of trash cans.
Somewhere across this world, little children carry guns
to defend their homes
while their country's being bombed and their city explodes. And I know
I'm no superhero,
but I can't provoke thought with these words I spark.
Yeah, talk is cheap,
but it's too expensive to sit and not say anything. Because you only got one life to live.
One life to live.
Make sure when you die, your life was worth every moment of it.
Fifth L. That was good.
Thank you.
So, you think that there is hope? You think there is a possibility of change in what you observe and what you just spoke about?
I'm going to say something really probably backwards.
Go ahead.
Even if there was no hope, I'd still do this. And that's why I feel like whoever you are is who you are. Don't let the situations determine what you're going to be. Be exactly who you are. So a lot of people say, is there hope? I personally feel like things are really bad, but they could be a lot worse. So
I do. And just to add on to that, there were, and I think what makes me agree with Femi and gives me the idea that there is hope, there was a time when I'm sure that no one thought that slavery would be over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if we were like two black guys just, you know, sitting on the porch in the 1800s and I said, man, you know, one day this is going to all change. I might say to me, you are crazy.
You're crazy. It's always going to be like this.
This is how it is. And times change for everything. Everything, you know, because
people
there are
make
people.
Change. They don't just change.
Right. Because people do have that hope, you know, if it's something they
want to
see.
To add on to that, those people worked through that. Thinking, you know, because a lot of people didn't think that it was going to change, and it probably looked real bleak, like this probably won't ever happen, but they still did it regardless.
Well, you know, I would say like in 1958, 59, 60, when I was very young, the nobody thought that even segregation would end.
Exactly.
Nobody thought that would happen. And now, and then what, 15 years later, every major city in the South has a black mayor.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and 1950, you know.
People were being lynched.
You would say, you know, yeah, you know, it's going on. 2010, we're going to have a president with a black face, you know.
Shoot, three years ago you wouldn't have thought that. 2 years ago you wouldn't have thought that.
As early
while
as.
While he was running, you wouldn't have thought that.
So, so true.
It's true. So, I mean, what you're saying here, I mean, there's a continuity, but also it's that if people don't step up and push,
right,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But push regardless, even if you don't believe it's going to happen, push. And I'm a big fan of that. Like, if you don't believe it's going to happen, still do it if you feel like that's what you want to do.
If that's what's in you. That's who you are.
Yeah, don't let situations determine who you are, what you're going to do. Do what you want to do. Do what you're going to do.
This might sound off the wall. I was reading a book I'm preparing for an interview we're going to do, and it's about what we call Custer's Last Stand. You know, right. Little Bighorn. And it's a really very good book. And one of the characters in the book, who I've always been enamored with, but read more about every chance I get, is Sitting Bull. But here was one man leading this one group that said, no, we're not going to back up. We're not going to give you the land. We're going to stay and fight. And he didn't care. It wasn't win or lose. It was about something larger than winning or losing. It was about standing.
Mm.
Right.
And sometimes you just have to stand.
Well said. Well said. And
like the man in front of the tank. Sometimes you have to stand.
You understand? I put that in my piece on purpose because that was something that He did that regardless. That's a tank. They could have killed. I mean, they could have rolled over him. They didn't even have to blast the tank. They could have just rolled over him. That man standing there, that was a situation where I'm pretty sure he went there thinking, that's not going to happen. That they're going to kill me. He stood in front of that tank knowing that they could have just killed him, and he did it regardless. And that was such a huge statement. That was and he stopped.
And the thing is just getting past acceptance of these are the circumstances we're given, and we need to, and we're just going to accept it. You know, no, we don't have to just accept it. And, you know, we all go through hardship all over the world, you know, and not even comparing one to another. But, you know, I guess with young people, when we come across them, and the excuse is, well, I don't have a dad. You know, I didn't have a dad, or I'm living in poverty, or, you know, for everything of why you're not going to succeed, and let that stop you from at least from even trying. Still, you know, accepting what's given to you, the circumstance, I think is unacceptable.
We're talking to the men who are Fifth L. You can go to steinershow.org now and link on to Fifth L. Men who do spoken word, who fight for a different world that we live in here in America. Native Son is with us, a.k.a. David Ross, who also is a poet and author of Speech Impediments. Dry Fish, a.k.a. Femi Lawal, Baltimore resident, born in London, raised partially in Nigeria. He's been performing since 1995, and David since 1997. Fifth L is a force here that works with young people who have been shot, who have come through shock trauma, and trying to end that violence in our community. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. We come back from this break. Paxaw, you'll be the first caller up. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. Find out more at www.hopkinsmedicine.org. We'll be right back with Fifth L. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. We are in the studio with Fifth L. Join us here at 410-319-8888. Men who do spoken word, who work with our young people, who believe the society can change, and their creative work says all of that. Native Son, a.k.a. David Ross, is here, one half of the duo, poet and author of special Speech Impediments. Been performing since 1997, Dry Fish, a.k.a. Femi Lawal, Baltimore resident, born in London, raised partially in Nigeria, and been performing since 1995. As I said earlier when we started this show, I met David Ross at this event we both emceed and worked at Center Stage. Was very taken with his story and his work, and said, you got to get this man on the show. And I think I turned you on to Athol Fugard that day.
You did.
Did you find him?
I did. And I haven't had a chance to read it, but I'm really grateful for that.
Amazing playwrights.
Just by you telling me about it, I was impressed. So I'm like, I got to get on this.
Yeah, I mean, he's that generation of Wallace Sayinka, Chinua Achebe, these great African playwrights. Yeah. 410-319-8888. Now you're here. Paxaw, you're on the air. Got him? Paxaw, you're on the air.
Oh, my name is Tessa.
Tessa, I'm sorry. I said Paxaw on my screen. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's great. Good day, y'all.
Hello.
I really do think that gangster rappers really do need to be ashamed of themselves for really poisoning the minds of our youth. But my question to you guys is, can you name three things that our youth can do to begin to turn their lives around in Baltimore?
What I would suggest, and this is something I always say, is that we're at a different time in society, period, especially in the United States, where I believe that by being young, you find yourself being very responsible for where you end up in life. The family unit is not as tight as it used to be, so you kind of end up having to fend for yourself in more cases than not. So being aware of the fact that the decisions you make right now will affect you later is a huge deal. young people in the United States, Baltimore City, you know, have a tendency to think that I'm young, therefore I can live a certain way, and it'll clean up later. Or the mentality, especially the young black man mentality, is that I probably won't make it to C21. And my question is always, okay, so what happens when you do? Because that mentality that I don't make it to C21 leads you to living your life in a certain fashion that is very reckless. And something simple as ruining your credit. You don't think about that until you hit after 21 when you need your credit. You know, getting locked up. You don't think about any of that. It's because I'm being honest with you. In talks with folk, I've realized, like, yo, getting locked up, going to jail, you know, drug possession, whatever it is, it's cool. It's a social norm now. It's all right. It's acceptable. But no one thinks about that when after 21, you're trying to get a real job. When all that stuff becomes played out, it's no longer fun. And then you have to get a real job, and you got all that stuff on your record. No one thinks about beyond the moment. And by being young, you think about the moment, enjoying yourself right now. And no one thinks about the later on, the moments later. When you hit that 21, you're like, dag, I guess I did make it to C21. Now what are you going to do? And you end up in a cycle because you didn't prepare for it, plan for it, or even think about it. So I can't say, I've mentioned a bunch of things, but in the long run, it's really about being young doesn't mean you shouldn't, doesn't mean that that's the moment that you have to exist in. Think about beyond that moment. Think about what you want to be, where you want to be, you know, how you want your life to be after that 21 mark, after that 30 mark. Even if you never make it, I'm going to be honest with you, if you never make it, suffer by some unfortunate situation, you don't make it to C21 or 30 or 40 or 50, but still act like you're going to be there. You know, don't let your situations determine how you're going to make your decisions with your life and who you're going to be.
Yeah.
That's a pretty powerful answer.
Yes.
And I think there's something also about that for young people in the city. The streets in the corner have an allure, a seduction.
Yeah. I think that children are, they're going to be influenced regardless, you know, and it just depends on what grabs them first and has the strongest hold, you know. And I think that's what we help to, when I say bring in balance, like just to redirect the negative, is that they, you know, a friend on the line, he spoke about gangster rap, you know, I mean, that's what they do, you know, and there's someone who decided to give them the airwaves to put their perspective out there. Now, I just think that people who are the alternatives need
the same amount of attention,
equal attention and finances to do the same thing.
Right.
You know? And I feel like Femi and I, we're still at an age where we're in the cool age zone, so we are able to influence youth, you know, to do some of the things that we set ourselves as examples up for, you know. And it's just, you know, one of those things. I mean, one day I'm not going to be cool enough, you know, to really grab the air.
Once that gray streak comes in.
You know, then it's over. But for the past 10 years, we've been able to perform, and young people be like, wow, that's cool. So you present them with an alternative. I don't have to go to jail. You know, I don't have to do this. You know, I can do this and still be as.
It doesn't matter where. I mean, you said it earlier, but it's a strong statement that a lot of people say, my dad wasn't in my life. You know what I'm saying? Some people say, you know, I grew up in poverty stricken, you know, situations. My mom wasn't always around. She was always in a situation too. And I guess me being privileged enough, I've actually had the opportunity. I lived in Nigeria for almost 5 years. And where I lived in Nigeria was not the privileged area at all, you know. And the schools weren't funded. And the books were ripped to pieces. And the whole attitude still, especially in Nigeria, and don't get me wrong, Nigerians can be very proud. So all Nigerians listening, I know we represent. but at the end of the day, the attitude was strive for something better. That was the attitude. So, and I feel like I took that attitude to where I am right now. I just want something better. And it's not always financial, but you still got to have a mindset that, hey, I want something better than what I know. you know, and still, you know, I'm raising a child, you know, David's raising a child, you have children, you know, and still, because it's kind of weird because you create a new situation and you want your children to still be, not to be spoiled, to understand that what happened to get us here was a struggle. I need you to appreciate that and bring that back, you know. So, you know, just for things to be better, really, we need, you know, there's a lot needs to be done, but we definitely need to move beyond the moment and think about, you know, what happens next.
The men from Fifth L are here. You just heard Dry Fish, Native Sons in the house as well. 410-319-8888. Back to the phones. Jerry, you're on the air.
Jerry?
Jerry, yeah.
Gary.
Gary, I'm sorry, Gary.
My name is Gary Logan. I'm a friend of
That's a setup here.
Setup! You know how proud I am of you.
Mr. Logan.
Yeah. What's going on?
You know, where are you guys going to appear next? I haven't seen you for a while.
Well, on the 24th of July, we're doing a special Fifth Hour Live free show at Joe Squared.
Oh, Joe Square.
Yeah, with our Avenue. With our band and everything, we're going to get funky down
some
there.
Some new material. And,
ooh.
Yeah. You know, so that's one spot. And in case you didn't know, Gary, I've been working on a solo project. So tomorrow I'm going to be at Club Reality on Washington Boulevard. So in case you want to come through there, Unframed. The show's called Unframed. So, but the Fifth Hour Live is going to definitely be at Joe Square on the 24th of July.
Free show.
Fans come out. People that don't know who we are, come on out, have a good time. We have three albums that we've been touring with for the last like 6-7 years. Please come purchase, you know, and just be a part of the show. It's a good time.
Yes. What time at Joe Squared?
Starts at 9 o'clock. It'll be an opening act, and then we go on at 10.
Yep. All right. Joe Squared's a good place. They have a lot of good stuff.
Great pizza.
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 Beer. Ninja Turtle.
Gary, thanks for that call.
Thank you.
410-319-8888. Hank, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing today, Mr. Steiner?
I'm well, Hank. Welcome.
Blessed to you, young man. Your spoken word is nice, right?
Thank you.
I'd like to commend you on your work one. Right? I kind of got a little upset because the young man came in with a comment that hip hop, gangster rap, it dulls. Well, how he said it right was like everybody who speaks gangster rap is doing nothing but ruining kids, right? Mm-hmm. And quite naturally, I don't feel that way, right? I feel as though that when you know that your child is old enough to understand and compilate it or form an opinion, right, is when you should open your child up to more than just what you listen to, right? My daughter listens to, she shocked me one day, right? Mm-hmm. 17 years old. Now, I listen to hip-hop, and I be on Strictly Hip-Hop at Morgan quite often, right? Mm-hmm. And my daughter loves that. But at 17, my daughter shocked me one day when she brought home Celtic music because I was listening to Celtic music. So, what you open your child up to, right? If you sit there and you watching videos all day long and you don't explain to your daughter that this woman is actually acting out of part, such as the woman who's in the movies is acting out of part, then, yeah, she tends to want to dress and think that that's how she is, mm-hmm. right? And this goes for anybody, right? You take the time to explain to them what they're digesting so that they can formulate an opinion of whether or not that's what they want to be. And 75% of the people who rap only rap with what they see of their friends, right? Most of them aren't real criminals because if they were, he wouldn't actually be rapping, right? True. A little street cred goes a long way. One skiff actually makes you tough if it's televised. Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving me this poll to speak.
And thank you for the call.
Man, you keep doing what you're doing with the kids.
Yes, no doubt, sir.
Right?
Thank you, Hank.
Kids be kids. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I mean, one of the things is that, I don't blame hip-hop or gangster rap or anything. Because every generation, as we was saying earlier, has its rebel music, and the music that our parents hated, but I think one thing that we don't have today that we had growing up, that you had growing up, was variety and options and alternatives, on the radio. I remember when I was younger, I could hear
Tribe Called Quest, N.W.A.,
and
Public
Madonna
Enemy
on the same station. You could hear hip hop, rock, whatever, all on the same station. And now you get the same five songs recycled over and over again, you know, and so, that's the only detriment.
Because money became a huge fact in how things were run, and I mean, you would know the inner workings better than I would, you know, because I'm not on radio, although I'm on radio right now.
Madison Avenue was taken over. I mean, it's been narrowed down to what people are going to hear,
right,
and what they control, you know, and the fact that 80-90% of all hip hop, rap music, the entire genre together, is purchased by white suburban kids. Mm-hmm. And so they're playing a lot of times the marketing game of let's play bad black music to sell to white kids in the suburbs, especially what the game is,
right.
And that's
right.
What is being pushed.
But you know,
and part of their game is to make those millions to do that. And then on the other hand, you know, some of the allure of the street is because they can play the game in a suburb, maybe a black or white suburb, in a safe way. But the game when it's played in the street. It's a different game because the
effect is that the suburban kids are not at limited exposure,
right?
You know, whereas you know the urban kids and the city kids, limited. Black kids will that all they have is that one station, you know, that they could listen to, but I don't know if they ever thought about, you know, searching for other types of music. Like the caller just said, you know, he exposed his daughter to other types of music, you know, so that way you just have some variety. So you have nutrition and you have your snack food, you know. And that's how I look at music, you know. I listen to some junk music, you know, but I also listen to things that for the larger part, that's going to feed me, you know, inspire me.
Because
you know?
Things have been narrowed down so much. Go back to the phone tip. They've been narrowed down so much because street culture has really been taken over by prison culture, which masquerades itself as black culture.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's...
And it shows just that one facet of it when
It's so multifaceted. Yeah. You know, and
there's so much more to
it's weird because even when I was thinking about, and you know, not to bring Bill Cosby up, but when Bill Cosby was just hammering away at hip-hop music, I was kind of annoyed at him because I felt like, one, he's somebody that has money that could fund something better, an alternative, or at least fund some the things that are already out there that's considered an alternative. But secondly, I felt like he would know that's not the only hip hop out there.
Right.
That's not the only. Really, it's like a fraction of what hip hop is makes it to the airwaves.
Right.
But there's so much hip hop out there. I felt like he would know. So him hammering away. He knows how the system of the game is played, and he's getting mad at hip hop when he knows that there's a machine that wants it to be this way.
Well, he did just put out in his defense.
Let's not talk about that.
He did just put out a hip hop group.
Let's go back to the phones. I want to give you a chance to do one more piece of spoken word, and I want to go out with No Time for Sleep, which is coming off of one of your CDs, right?
Yes.
410-319-8888. Jackie, you're on the air.
First of all, I just jumped in the car and I just heard the last maybe 10 minutes of your program. So
mm-hmm.
I may be off point, but I just wanted to pick up on a couple of things that were said. The one thing that I wanted to pick up on was the options. That father that called and talked about the variety of exposure that his daughter had, that child's blessed to have a father
Indeed.
Or a parent
yeah.
who would do that. But a great number, now I'm a teacher in the inner city, so I work with these kids. A great number of our kids don't have those kind of models at home, don't have parents at home showing them that there's another way. And so what you said earlier about that there's only a thimble's worth of hip-hop that the kids are exposed to, unfortunately, they're exposed to the most negative because that's what, you know, that's what they think of, that's what that's what they want to sell. And our kids want to emulate that.
Mm.
If we had the kind of parents, if we had the kind of neighborhood support that we used to have, then it wouldn't make any difference what kind of music was played because they would have some balance, but they don't have the balance. So the issue is not that hip-hop is so bad and gangster rap is so bad, it's the kids don't get any balance. And, you know, it's like turn the TV off. Well, who's going to turn the TV off? Turn the radio off. Who's going to turn the radio off? Parents aren't home. There's nobody in the neighborhood. They're raising themselves.
Understood, and that's where I mean, that's the tank. That's us standing in front of the tank, you know. And I mean, you're a teacher, and I know you're doing your best to do all you can to make sure that you also drop something in their head that will hopefully, you know, develop and grow into something good, you know. And once again, I did high school here, and, you know, I went to Walbrook in 93. I mean, I graduated from Walbrook in 93, you know, and it was rough, you know, between, you know, and I'm looking at that experience also as there were some things I experienced myself that I got older and these things, certain things started to click. Because all this poetry stuff and stuff that, you know, hip-hop thing that I do now, I wasn't doing any of that in high school. I was an idiot in high school. And I went to school to have a good time, you know. And some of my experiences, though, I look back now and I feel like some of those experiences affected me after high school. And I guess being a teacher, that's all you can do. Because a lot of times society demands that you guys raise the children, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Which I think is ridiculous. That's like passing the buck. You know, I think that's ridiculous. But what you can do is teach the children to the best of your ability, and hopefully they'll walk away with something, because that's all you can do.
And since we have you all both in the studio, why don't we, I do want to play a little bit of No Time for Sleep as we go out, and we're trying to get back to the phones, but I want you to have a chance to do another one of your pieces.
Okay. Can I do Line of Love?
Yeah, do Line of Love.
All right. Just to switch it up, let you know we're not all about talking about violence, you know. And this piece is, you know, we're whole people, you know, and it's not, you know, just one. I think many times we only get to see a sliver of someone, but this piece is called Learn to Love, and I dedicate this to my mother. She passed away a few weeks ago, and she was just a living example, you know, of teaching me, you know. So I guess what is right as opposed to always just saying things. So This piece is called Learn to Love. I've never seen a man love a woman the way that my father loves my mother. I want to learn to love like that. He swept a single mom and her two babies off the ground out of the shadows of hopelessness. And as a little boy, all I could think was, God, his arms are strong. He struggled, but he made it known that his commitment was lifelong, because little boys need that from their dads. I'm glad he understood that it ain't easy to get a young boy that ain't yours to love you back. But he stayed right there and he never relapsed. And man, I want to thank you for that. I want to learn how to love like how I never seen a woman love her pumpkins for what they are. No spun gold, she embraced her straw and loved it, because it's worth more to her than glass slippers in a horse-drawn carriage. Their fairy tale came true with the broke-down four-door Ford automatic. Baby, it ain't much I can afford, but trust me, there's gold in our marriage. I want to learn to love like that. When she was in school, he held us down. When he was down, she held him up in high esteem. May not meet society standards, but he is her king still, his queen, keeping food and cash in a castle. Baby, I got you till we get back on our feet. No nagging, no hassle, because together we're going to fight this battle. I want to learn to love like that. Nah, never did she ever have a bunch of chickens clucking in the front yard all in her business. Busy beaks curled down squawking about women is and women ain't. She kept it quaint. This is the real deal for real. No pretty picture here I'm trying to paint. Believe me, it ain't, because life ain't perfect. We've seen some hard times, and those hard times hurt it, but weathered them together when there was no food in a fridge. Yeah, there were nights that went hungry, but they fed their kids who were just happy to live, unknowing, unbeknownst, unpaid bills, rent due, and lights off still, and that house love poured every ounce. I want to learn to love like that, to love without regret, to love without holding back, to love regardless despite the setback. Hey, you want to know what love is? Don't watch reality TV. Read reality weaved in a brilliant fabric of this couple's life work. Durable and double-threaded, wove with 20 years worth of patchwork. And they still sewing, still going, still growing together. I tell ya, I want to learn to love like that. Never have I seen a couple love like this. So strong for so long, I'm a lucky one. To be a real-life Cosby kid. To have my own Cliff and Claire right there every day. Supporting and pushing me all the way. I tell ya, what I say is true. 20 years, never seen them argue. All they do is play. I'm lying, they get into it every now and then, but hey, they still kiss at the end of the day. Bedroom door closed at night. My sister and I, we knew everything was all right. I want to learn to love like that. The only hand I ever seen him later when he was washing her back, rubbing her feet, helping her aching body get in the passenger seat. The only put down she ever laid on him was a layaway receipt. I tell you, I want to learn mom. I want to learn dad. I want to learn how to love like that.
Whew, that was beautiful.
Makes you want to hug your son and your wife at the same time.
Hug your sons and your wives.
It does.
I got to get my mail order bride
back. It was beautiful. That was lovely.
Thank you.
Let's get a quick call in here. Tian, you're on the air. Hi, Tian, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, peace, brothers. I just wanted to say how much I love y'all's work. I bought Circle Dot Dot like the last $10 I had.
Oh, man, thank you.
You know, like I was when I was a part of the Baltimore Algebra Project one time when we were planning a advocacy, and it was this instance where you and where you brothers just got finished doing a piece, and then it was like one of y'all wanted to say something, but the other one wanted to say something too, and then y'all ended up speaking the exact word at the exact same time. And that kind of, I mean. And you were saying, you know, that y'all share a brain sometimes. And I mean, that kind of passion, that kind of dedication to your art and to your craft is definitely something that unfortunately is rare. And and something that, you know, I can hope that, you know, through your work, you know, you inspire others to be the same. And also, I mean, unfortunately, the radios and, you know, I might end up putting my foot in my mouth, but don't matter. You know, some certain individuals, you know, they want to get on the radio and say how, you know, government's trying to take a piece of their check or whatever. But, you know, it's like, unfortunately, brothers like yourself don't get the type of rotation that you should get on the radios because, you know, it's so much that dictates what gets put on the radio, mainly money.
Right.
And you know, unfortunately, you know, that's a big barrier. And I mean, personally, you know, when if Uncle Sam wants to take a piece of that, then you know, I personally don't have any problem with it. But
Chad, I'm sorry,
know,
we're almost out of time. But so what I'd like to do is
thank you, brother.
If we can thank you so much, brothers. If we can play Under Us a little bit here as we go out, last minute and a half, a little bit of No Time for Sleep. Just people can hear what a highly produced piece that these guys do sound like.
Right.
We can play it under us as we kind of close out the show, and y'all can hear a piece of that. And here we go. This is from which CD?
The Reset album.
Yes.
This was produced by Maurice Carroll with Stinky Face Music.
This is our latest album.
Who has time for sleep when pulling a minimum of 40 hours per week? Still need to tack on a part-time because my full-time supervisor's too cheap. You got to text message me or email. Communication derailed.
So, folks, I want to, this is, I wish we could get more of your calls just calling in, but we appreciate you listening and being part of the show today. Fifth L's been in the house. Native Son, a.k.a. David Ross. Dried Fish, a.k.a. Femi Lawal.
Thank you so much.
They will be on the 24th at Joe's
Square. Joe Squared.
And you can go down there and enjoy, and I'll try to join that too on the 24th of July. Right. And I want to thank you, brothers, for being here today.
Thank
it's been a
you
pleasure
for
to have
having
you.
Thanks for having
pleasure
us.
Pleasure to meet you.
Definitely.
God bless.
I remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. We're going to take a short break, go out with Fifth L. When we come back, we'll be hearing some Palestinian hip-hop and some stuff going on over in the West Bank. And also to hear from the folks at the Run of the Mill Theater doing a really interesting theater piece on the number 3 bus line on North Avenue. All that coming up in the next hour. Stay with us. Go out with a bit of Fifth L. Have a great day. Passed away when the baby